Welcome back. It's hour number two of Garden Talk, live at KSRO, celebrating our 30th year, bringing you the best in gardening information and taking your calls at 636-1350. We know the 9 o'clock hour, some folks are a little slow in getting up and around, and usually by 10 o'clock they're thinking, need to get out there and do a little fill in the blank out of the garden, see what's happening overnight in the past few days. 636-1350, if you have a question, a problem area in your garden where nothing is growing quite right, a very shady area or a lot of sun area, you might have the wrong plant there, or you're thinking of repurposing a particular spot in your yard or garden. Vegetables, is it too late to put in fill in the blank, or your vegetables are looking a little peaked? Lots of questions as we move full bore into summer. No one on hold at this moment. If you have a question for Gwen Kilcher, she would love to talk gardening with you this morning at 636-1350. No one on hold at this moment. That'll probably change pretty quickly as we go to calls for Gwen. You could also reach us at steve@ksro.com. That is really the best way to reach us at Garden Talk this morning.
You know what you just reminded me of? You said, is it too late to plant this and that, blah, blah, blah. I didn't get my corn in the ground. Of all the vegetables and stuff that I have sown, I was trying to pull out my, I was waiting to pull out my onions so I could plant my corn, sow my corn seeds.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking, I didn't sow my corn. I have no corn in the ground. But that's okay because it's not going to take that long to produce and I have plenty of time. So I just have to add that now to my list of things to do.
You can put it in now and get corn by August?
Sure. Well, yeah. Maybe. It depends on the variety. Some, you know, like 60 some odd days, 70. But I'm thinking, I do have plenty of time. I grow this hybrid organic variety called Bodacious.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bicolored corn. It's so sweet. It's so delicious. And I have, Luscious. Luscious. And then another corn that I grow in another part of the yard is Bodacious, which is yellow and very sweet.
Oh, how pretty.
So I have a yellow and then a bicolor.
Beautiful. How are your mulberries? I look forward to that every summer when you bring me a precious little handful of white mulberries.
I haven't looked at them lately. When I did a couple months ago, they were there. They were growing and beautiful. I'm hoping the birds didn't get them. Now that, you know, because when you're away for a couple weeks, it's amazing who says, oh, they're not home. Come on. Let's go steal all their
fruit.
They
seem to know. From Santa Rosa, Jan, good morning. Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Jan.
Good morning.
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 I have a question for Gwen, because I followed her directions or suggestion last year and ordered the Snow White cherry tomatoes.
Okay.
They're green right now. When do I know that? Are they white when they're ripe, or are they red?
They're going to be like a pale, creamy, white color. Yellowy, creamy, white.
Okay.
And you'll see. They're green. They're not ready. Just wait and wait. Then they're going to start to get lighter in color. And the best description I could give you is this creamy, whitish, yellow look.
Creamy, whitish, yellow look.
And then
okay.
You can pick one and you eat it. And you're like, oh, that's still a little bit tart. So you'll know what color that was when you picked it. So wait for it to get even more pale for it to get more sweet.
So use my cell phone, take a picture of it, then that color, and then I go for the next color up.
Yes.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yes.
Then, so have you ever tried these tomatoes yet, Jan?
No.
This is the first time you've grown them.
They're on the brine. They're you know, green, and we've got a lot of blossoms, but so far nothing. My sun girls, I've already had three off of that one.
Uh-huh.
Sun girls a little earlier.
I think we also did one really bad thing. We have, because of where we live, we're up in the hills, we've got deer, so our tomatoes, all of my produce, I grow on our deck.
Okay.
In pots. And so with the cherry tomatoes, we put the cages around them, and haven't had this problem before, but there's two cherry tomatoes in each pot, and they're bulging, and they're too tight in the cages that we put on, you know. So they're going to be really interesting trying to get tomatoes this year.
Yeah, how big are these pots that you put two plants in?
I don't know. They're big.
They're big.
They are big. So there's 18, enough soil 24. In
yeah,
there.
And we've had good success before, but I think my husband used a different type of soil mix this time.
Uh-huh.
And that might be the problem.
Hmm. Well, wait, I'm not following what the problem is.
Well, I mean, it's just the fact that the The tomatoes are so clumped together inside the cage that I can't really see inside.
They're crowded. Might be difficult to get to the tomatoes because of how cramped they are.
Yeah,
there's a lot of foliage.
Yeah.
Well, you could direct the growth, you know, just pull some of the vines, the young pliable vines, and pull them outwards.
That's the trouble. We put all the young pliable vines inside, thinking that would keep them from sticking out too far.
Oh. Well, what's going to happen is if they're too crowded and those vines aren't getting any sun, they're not going to produce any flower clusters, and you're not going to get any fruits in there.
Well, we have them.
Okay.
So, I don't know who's doing what right and wrong.
Well, I think everything is going fine so far, but we always have some issues when you plant plants too close together because of harvesting. You know, it's difficult to get to, or even if you plant plants in the ground that's too close together, it's hard to walk over them to get to the other plants. So, you know, we just kind of learn from our mistakes and go, okay.
Yeah, so next year I know better, you know, but so it's like this year, I'm really excited about getting something new and different.
Cool. Oh, good.
Tell us how those white tomatoes are progressing.
And you can also squeeze the tomato a little bit, and if there's a slight give to it, then that tomato should be ready.
Usually I know that they're ready because they just fall off in my hand.
Oh, yeah, that too.
So keep us abreast of your progress for your snowy white cherry tomatoes, okay?
I will.
Thanks, Jen.
Well, thank you very much this morning because I've been looking and wondering, golly, I've got to call Saturday and find out. So thank you very much and have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you, Jane. Wonderful to talk with you. Peter from Santa Rosa would like a word with you. Welcome to Garden Talk, live at KSRO in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Peter. What can we do for you?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I have a raised bed garden, and this year we grew lettuce and zucchini, amongst other things. And I'm wondering two things. First is about the lettuce. Is there a useful life to lettuce, or how can I prolong it? Because it already seems like it's starting to play out on me.
If it's already starting to bolt by sending up that flower stalk, it's too late. There's no stopping it. That's a variety of lettuce that doesn't like the heat. And, you know, most of the varieties like the cool weather. Or you could prolong it if the life of the lettuce, if it was growing in some partial sun. You know, parts shade, parts sun. And it'll go along as long as it possibly can. But they do get to a point where, okay, I can't handle this hot weather anymore, no matter how much shade you give me or not, and then they just start to bolt. Or they'll start getting bitter tasting. Mm-hmm. And then you say, okay, this lettuce has had it. So, you know, so don't plant any more lettuce at this time of the year. Wait until fall where it likes the cooler weather. You could put some shade cloth over it. If we get any hot days, and then once the cooler weather stays with us, then it can grow out in the full sun because it's not going to be, you know, 80, 90, 100 degrees.
So
okay. If I do pull it out, is there something I can plant this late that I can still get some harvest status before the end of the season?
Yeah, you can plant anything except, you know, you could still plant a few tomatoes, peppers, eggplants. I'd grow any of your vegetables that you want. You know, the beans, beets, carrots, cucumbers. What else am I growing? The squashes, for sure. Any of your summer vegetables. Corn, if you didn't get corn in the ground like me, you could do that. So whether you start with seeds or plants, it doesn't matter. There's still plenty of time to harvest lots of things before winter comes.
Okay, and I have one more question.
Uh-huh.
Planted zucchini plant. It's doing very well.
Wait, I missed that. You planted what?
Zucchini.
Oh, zucchinis. Okay.
And it's doing very well. But some of the zucchini coming off of it, just a few, start growing out fine, but then the tips get rotten.
Okay. They're probably... They're probably pretty short when you do that, say maybe 2 inches long.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like that flower did not get pollinated. And so it starts to grow this fruit, but it really didn't have the male flower that came along and pollinated that female flower. So it thought it should grow, but then it just fizzled out. Or it could be that the watering is inconsistent. You're giving it too much water, and then the plant gets dry a bit. And so as that young zucchini starts to grow, which takes a tremendous amount of water in there, is drying out. So in order for the plant to stay alive, it's going to sacrifice the fruits. So stick your fingers down in the soil and just keep the soil consistently moist, not dry out and then not be soaking wet. Does that help you?
That helps me. Thank you.
How are you watering the plants?
We're going in hot weather with a hose, and we go down every morning or in the evening and water, soak around the base of the plants.
How often were you watering? How often are you watering?
Pretty much daily, unless, it cools down a bit. Then, if it looks like it's still damp, we go down there, we'll wait till the following day.
Okay, but you said you water almost daily. I would probably cut back tremendously, give them a good deep watering. Do you have any mulch, any compost stuff on top of the soil around the plants?
Oh, just soil.
Okay, get some compost and you put it on the ground everywhere where you're walking and just keep all that soil covered with compost, maybe 2 inches thick. That'll help hold the water in the soil longer. And get a moisture meter if you want too, and stick the moisture meter in there and see how wet or dry that soil is getting. But it could also be that you're giving those plants too much water and they are teetering on root rot. And so then again, your plants will not produce any zucchinis because that plant's trying to stay alive, and the first thing it's going to do is drop all of its fruits and vegetables, or flowers if it was a flowering plant. Okay?
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck, and, change a few things, and then you'll be successful within the next few months here.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call, Peter. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Cleared those couple calls. No one on hold. 636-1350. It is your chance to talk with us at Garden Talk, and we will relish the opportunity to share whatever experiences you're having during this recent heat wave and now the cool down and the results in your yard or garden. If you need suggestions or comments or diagnosis, Gwen is completely at your disposal. We'll get you right on the air at 636-1350. Or if you want to shoot us a picture, steve@ksro.com. Couple things coming in right now.
Weather every 30 minutes on KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. Right now, it's time for garden starts and microgreens. They're available along with fresh veggies, healthy mixed salad greens, and hothouse tomatoes. All stone fruit is in. Peaches, cherries, and plums, and all the berries. Blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, and strawberries. When choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, chicken, and freshly made sausages. Min Hee Korean Cuisine is serving up her popular Korean egg rolls. Enjoy Tao's delicious falafels, and Anello Crab and Seafood offers the best clam chowder. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thanks, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. Right now, it's time for garden starts and microgreens. They're available along with fresh veggies, healthy mixed salad greens, and hothouse tomatoes. All stone fruit is in. Peaches, cherries, and plums, and all the berries. Blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, and strawberries. When choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, chicken, and freshly made sausages. Min Hee Korean Cuisine is serving up her popular Korean egg rolls. Enjoy Tao's delicious falafels, and Anello Crab and Seafood offers the best clam chowder. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thanks, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
It's time for corn dogs, cotton candy, and carnival rides. The Sonoma Marin Fair, June 21st to the 25th, where all the concerts and carnival rides are included in your pay one price admission. Concerts by Tower of Power, Jana Kramer, Loverboy, and John Michael Montgomery, Fiesta Latina on Sunday. Exotic animals, silly pig races, the world's ugliest dog contest, and sprint car races. The Sonoma Marin Fair, June 21st to the 25th in Petaluma. Don't stand in line, buy online at sonoma-marinfair.org.
Kick off your musical summer at Weil Hall and Lawn at the Green Music Center on July 4th for Sonoma County's biggest fireworks display and a premier musical celebration. The Green Music Center's summer season starts off with a bang as Grammy winner Kathy Mattea, along with the Santa Rosa Symphony, take the stage, followed by eye-popping pyrotechnics. Indoor and outdoor tickets are available now, starting at just $25, with kids 12 and under free on the lawn. Brought to you in part by Clover Sonoma and Exchange Bank. Visit gmc.sonoma.edu.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Oh, yeah, we're here. We're just talking plants.
No, we're not. Let's tell everybody how you dropped your
I dropped my headphones, too. 636-1350, if you want to reach us on Garden Talk. I saw a lot of gardens this past week. I'm going to talk to you and ask you about some of the plants I saw and what you think, because you have strong opinions about all the plants. Some of us agree, some of us disagree about some of these plants. You can reach us now at 636-1350 because your phone calls do take priority on the show, not just what Gwen and I want to talk about. Margo would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Good morning, Margo.
Good morning. How's everybody?
Doing wonderfully. Thank you.
Good. Oh, it's so perfect. I have two quick questions, I hope, and a couple of fruit statements, produce statements.
Yes.
Okay.
My first question is with running bamboo.
Okay.
I have a season hedge, and it begins to take over when the droughts are over. What is the best way you know to contain it?
Get a bulldozer, backhoe or something. It depends on how much.
Exactly what my husband used to say.
Yeah. Is it taking over a lot or just a little bit? Is it
starting?
Well,
I contain it, but it has crawled under the deck, over the deck, into a patio. It may come up through my living room one of these days.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
No, seriously, it's bad.
It's bad. There is no good, easy way, unless you hire somebody to do some digging. Hopefully the soil is easy to work with, and it's very tedious, time-consuming, back-breaking labor to get rid of all those little underground shoots. Unfortunately, like I said, it's almost impossible to get rid of that unless you had people there 24 hours a day, getting out there and removing every piece that you possibly can. That's a shame.
Okay.
You know, I'm sorry I don't have anything better to tell you. I don't know if any herbicide is going to take care of it.
Well, I'm very organic. I'll tell you what I do once in a while. I read it or figured it out. I cut it off at the base.
Uh-huh.
And it's tubular, vascular.
Yeah.
And I was putting Roundup down, just dripping it down like an inch of it. And that's okay. And then I've gotten so pure that now I put boiling water. Oh. Then with a drought, it abated for a while. But now it's going crazy. So, yes, I've tried the trench with deep vinyl. It goes under that.
Yeah.
Eventually. But anyway, thank you. I will either live with this or do something drastic.
You could.
Then I want to just make a statement. Oh, yes, just a statement about your wonderful telling of the produce in the East Coast. Well, I have really old apple trees. They're considered, I can't talk. They were planted about 1920. They're the original grabs. They're still alive. They're hollowed out. They're bearing. Last year they went crazy, all organic. I tried it then, and I have people help. This year, they're already over an inch in diameter, clusters of them, not a big crop. And the same with my couple of prune trees left. And this year, do you know about the Mirablin? We call it the Mirablin, the wild plum.
Yes, yes.
I have Very one blessed. Of those. They bloom. So, okay, I actually beat the birds by about a bucketful. It's a crazy year, a wonderful year, and that's all I'm going to say, and thank you again.
Well, before you go away, Gwen would like to ask Cecilia Colgan.
Oh, no, well, I do want to say you could do a couple experiments on your bamboo. Cut a few of those stalks down, and in a few of them, pour some vinegar down in them, and the other ones, try some table salt. You know, maybe like a tablespoon or teaspoon or something. You'll have to experiment. And if you pour, you know, say 10 with salt, 10 with vinegar, see which one works. Maybe they both work. But that might be a good organic way to go. It's time-consuming. Get a funnel so you can stick the funnel right over the thing, pour it in there. I'm thinking of what my friend does with eucalyptus trees. She calls them gum trees in Hawaii. That are taking over her property. And all those young trees, they drilled holes in them. You know, they cut them down very small, you know, like an inch or two in diameter. And she cut them down, drilled a little hole with one of those cordless drills, put a funnel on it, put some salt in it, and they don't come back. So that's what I was thinking. Try both, and then you call us back in a couple months and let us know if either one of those work.
And I have a question, Margo. These apple trees, did you say that they were planted in the 20s and 30s?
Well, I live on a very old ranch that's still in the family, and I don't talk about it too much because I begin to sound like bragging. Oh, it's incredible. And you should see, Gwen, you should see my organic garden. I have a helper this year. I'm getting quite, long in the tooth. But eat your heart out. My corn is 18 inches. The squash is blossoming. The tomatoes are going wild because we're using, dried steer manure. No, I can't talk.
Dried steer manure?
Organic.
Yeah.
And dry. And we're doing it all the way I grew up, actually. This is what we're returning to. And it's super.
Well, tell me this. Your apple trees, then, are 75 to 85 years old, and they're still producing apples.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to the early records. I found some that my father-in-law, who, by the way, did have knowledge of Luther Burbank. I have some of the original, according to family legend, some of Burbank's original Shasta Daisies.
Wow.
Oh, this is fantastic.
And they're incredible. I keep giving them away, and they go from house to house on the ranch. Again, I'm very proud of this. I married into it. It's not my home.
This is marvelous. I want to put you on hold because I just have a couple extra questions for you. Could you just hold on for another few seconds, Margo?
For you? Anything.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
You should be proud. Good for you and your green thumb.
Hold on just a second. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back with more questions and answers. Live Garden Talk, KSRO. This is Steve and Gwen.
News, talk, weather, traffic, sports. Sonoma County's News Talk 1350, FM 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Dimples are so cute on babies.
Cute on babies, but not on my thighs and derriere.
I know. I hate my cellulite.
Me too. I work out all the time, but it just won't go away.
Ditch the dimples. Now there's an FDA-approved, minimally invasive procedure clinically proven to improve the appearance of cellulite for up to 3 years. It's called Cellfina. You've seen it on Good Morning America and Rachel Ray because it works. When done by an expert like Dr. Tom, patients have great results.
I love helping my patients feel better about themselves. I've extensively researched the treatments for cellulite and am pleased to introduce the most successful FDA-approved treatment for cellulite, Selfvena. My patients love the immediate improvement in the appearance of their skin and the long-lasting results.
This summer, you could be showing off your beautiful, smooth legs. Call 707-542-8346.
Look younger by Monday.
More information at drwaltertom.com.
It's free Sunday concerts at the Terrace. Montgomery Village's free concerts from 1 to 4 at Village Terrace continue this Sunday with the queen of boogie-woogie, Wendy DeWitt.
Sonoma County.
Yes, Sonoma County, she's talking to you.
Don't you know that's where I'm from?
And she's coming back home this Sunday, and you'll have a rollicking good time with the amazing boogie-woogie piano and vocals of Wendy DeWitt. Sip on a glass of exceptional Rodney Strong wine or an ice-cold Ninkasi IPA, a Bud Light, Kona Longboard, Shock Top Belgian White, or Alhambra Water. All proceeds from beverage sales benefit the SRJC Wrestling Program. Go to mvshops.com for details. Free live music with Wendy DeWitt, plus premier shopping throughout the village. This Sunday at the Terrace, next to Cattleman's in Montgomery Village.
It's not just about taking pictures. It's not just about cameras and lenses. It's not even just about photography. What it is about is capturing a moment that might never be experienced again. The people at Shutterbug Santa Rosa and Petaluma will be your guide to the excitement of capturing that moment. Shutterbug are more than just photography experts. They're experts in making life's beautiful moments last forever. Shutterbug Santa Rosa and Petaluma or ShutterbugCameraShops.com.
His eyes darted between the blue wire and then the red wire. Back to the blue, back to the red. A bead of sweat dropped from his brow to his hand, which grasped a pair of pliers. He took a deep breath, steadied himself, and cut both with one swift squeeze of his tool. The boy screamed as the doctor pried the braces from his teeth.
If this 20-second performance made you feel something, imagine what an entire Audible book can do. Visit audible.com to start your free 30-day trial.
Mayors from around the country, like West Sacramento's Christopher Cabaldon, are in Miami today for the annual Conference of Mayors, but they're keeping an eye on the nation's capital.
Things like the healthcare debate that's happening in Washington right now, or the immigration battles that have been ongoing for the last several months.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is urging his colleagues to tell their senators to work together to create a bipartisan bill. That would be something healthcare would support healthcare across the board. The Senate could vote on a Republican plan next week, but at least five GOP say they will say no. More heavy rain is in the forecast today for parts of the Gulf Coast, just days after Tropical Storm Cindy blew through. Actor Johnny Depp is apologizing for comments that he made about President Trump being assassinated. He says it was in poor taste and that he didn't mean to harm anyone. As for the president, he's attending a wedding tonight for a cabinet member, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Warm and mild temperatures for the next few days. Today is sunny at 80 degrees, 60 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 53 inland and on the shores. Even cooler for Sunday at 76, 60 in Bodega Bay. Blue skies for Monday at 76 degrees, 63 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Good morning, Mary. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. What can I do for you this morning?
Oh, hello. I have a neighbor who has a large maytan tree, which is not far from my fence on the other side, and a couple of them grew over and came up on my side, and I let them grow into trees over the years because I needed the shade. Now he's going to cut them all down. He asked me if he could cut mine down because he doesn't want them to come back. He's going to put an addition on his house, and he needs to get the tree out of there. But he wants to put some sort of chemical on the stumps of all of them so that they won't come back. And I'm really concerned about that because I have an organic garden. And I wondered if there's a better way. The name of this thing is Triclopyr, T-R-I-C-O-L-P-C-L-O-P-Y-R. And I read the stuff he gave me. It says half-life of 3 to 10 days, but it scares me. The whole thing scares me. I don't really want any poisonous stuff in my garden because of cats and bees and things like that. And I'm wondering, you know, if there's a better way, if there's any old way at all, you dig up the stumps or whatever that I can do, at least on my side of the fence, because I'm sure he's going to do this on his side.
How wide is the diameter of the trunks, especially his tree?
His tree, it's about, I'm trying to look at it through the branches here, it's probably about 2 feet or something like that. It's pretty big and old, and the branches of it hang over my side, and then the couple of, you know, roots that came through and grew up, I let a couple of them grow up, but then I've been fighting them for years and digging them up, the little seedlings, and I know how it is. I'm not unhappy that he's going to cut them all down, but I don't want to put any poison in my side. My trunks are not as wide. They're more maybe a foot diameter or something like that. They're younger trees. This is a big old tree. It's been there forever, I think.
Yeah,
before we came.
What's happening is that, okay, his mate and tree send out the roots, and then they suckered up into your yard. So there is a connection of his tree root going into yours and then creating another tree. So there's that railroad system going on. If there's some way that you could sever that connection between those two trees, then whatever he poison or whatever he puts in his tree will not affect yours, because it's very possible if he uses this herbicide triplicore, it can kill your tree. So,
well, I don't mind my. He's going to cut down my two trees that are next to the fence. He asked me if he could because
I
don't mind that. I don't want to put the stuff. I don't want him to put the stuff on my stumps.
Okay,
that he's going to put on his stump, even though it's probably going to migrate out a bit. But the tree, his tree, is probably, I don't know, 10 feet or more from my fence, so it's not too close. But at the same time, I'm worried about, you know, I don't want to do it in my garden. I wonder if there's some way. I was thinking I could get my guy who does helps me with the gardening to like dig a down along my side of the fence. How deep would I have to go to cut those roots?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Okay. He wants to cut it down to the ground in the stump and pour this weed killer on it to prevent it from resprouting all over the place, right?
Yes.
That, if he could grind out the stump of the trees and get rid of the whole base part of the trunk and just leave the roots in the ground there to die away because it doesn't have the main stump of the tree to feed it, then the problem will be solved. But that's going to be expensive, a lot of work and this and that. So you could tell him that just to give him information. If you want, you can tell him when he cuts the tree down, he can drill some holes around just inside the bark where the cambium layer is, because that's where everything, all the nutrients and water go up and down. It's not in the center part of the tree because that's all dead.
It's on the edge of the stump.
Yes.
Okay.
Drill a bunch of holes in there and he can pour salt or vinegar or I don't even know what else. There is a stump killer that you can buy that kind of smothers the tree, but it takes a tremendous amount. It's like phosphate. Nitrogen phosphate or something, whatever it is, and then you cover the stump and it kind of smothers. He can do that instead of putting in that herbicide, but it could be just as simple as pouring the vinegar, salt. I think salt would be much better in this instance compared to vinegar.
Well, at least it's a natural solution.
Yes.
Yeah, plain old table salt. You can, you know, say, hey, let's give this a shot right here. And you give it a couple months. If it doesn't work, then you can go with plan B. But, you know, hopefully he'll listen to you with your organic garden and stuff and say, hey, you know, for the sake of both of our gardens, it would be, you know, wise to just put some salt on here. But, you know, those suckers are still going to be coming up for a long time until that stump rots away.
Even if the tree is gone, the suckers will still be coming up.
Yeah, because you still have your stump of that tree where all the roots are coming out of.
How about if you cut all around, if you dig down all around the stump and it deep, you know, to cut the roots coming out from it?
Yeah, that would be good.
How deep would you have to go? I know that the one that was coming across to me, the big root that was coming across to me originally was huge, and it was only like 6 inches down or a foot down under the ground. It wasn't deep at all.
Yeah, a lot of the fruit, most of your tree roots are within the first 2 feet, maybe 3 feet of the soil.
That's
so
good.
Mayton trees, you know, they do have a more shallow root system, so that would work in his favor, in your favor. Yeah. The more shallow they are, the less digging you do. And yeah, right. Go ahead, but don't just make a cut and slice it like a piece of, like you're cutting a loaf of bread in half. You're going to have to cut two cuts, maybe a couple inches from each other, like you're going to cut a loaf of bread in the middle, and now you want that piece of bread in the middle of that loaf. So you're going to cut another slice out to get a good thick piece of bread. Okay, right. And you're going to remove that. Otherwise, that cut, those roots will the root where you cut it will just grow back together and seal up, and then it continues to grow.
Okay.
Yes, I see what you mean. So you have to take a big chunk out of the middle of the root to stop it from regenerating.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. It sounds like a lot of work. I don't mind the work. I have a guy who does stuff for me, and I don't mind paying him to do that. I just don't want any poison in my garden.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
my neighbor doesn't exactly garden. I mean, his house is being rented out at the moment. He's going to move back in a year or two, and he wants to put this addition on. But in the meantime, he doesn't really garden himself. He just has, you know, ground cover and grass and stuff. So he doesn't care that much, I think, about the actual poison in the garden.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course he's going to do whatever's the fastest and cheapest and easiest way to go.
Yeah, well, you know, as being a good neighbor, there's always a diplomacy. The way to approach your neighbor, as you know, I'm sure we've all experienced this, is collaborative, not to come on as you need to do this. It's really interesting having been involved in mediation with neighbors and with a lot of calls. The way to approach it is, hey, I'm wondering if we could work together.
Or you tell them, and also say, I have a great idea.
What do you think about this idea?
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Those first few opening conversations with your neighbor can either make a long-term relationship or immediately close the door on collaboration. Unfortunately, people have approached things like, hey, I got a problem with this tree of yours coming over into... That immediately sets up a barrier. A door is closed. Makes people defensive. I'm not directing it at you, Mary. It just opens up the door for how many calls we've received on the show, Gwen, well over 30 years of people saying that their neighbor is not receptive to talking about. And then we get into, well, how did you approach the neighbor? And unfortunately, those first few interactions were soured by you're in the wrong, you're responsible, you need to take care of this. Again, collaboration and working together is for the long-term solution usually works out pretty well, because most people want to do the right thing. They want to be receptive, but they want to feel that you respect their property rights also. Anyway, that's...
Try to be polite and
yes.
agreeable and not too confronting.
So give us a call back in a while, Margo, and Mary, pardon me, and tell us what's happened, how it's moved along, okay?
Yeah, he's going to cut them down in August, so it's
okay.
Probably be a little bit late, and we'll see what happens.
Keep us in the loop.
Okay. Well, thank you for the info.
Yeah. Is there any way that you could get... You have access to tying a chain around the part of your roots that you cut and then tying it to the back of a truck and pulling it and yanking out the roots?
I don't think I could get a truck in here.
No?
He's
okay.
Not big enough.
Okay.
Okay.
That's my son, but you know, there might be some way. But I'll try the thing with the salt and the vinegar anyway, because I'll have my guy dig up as much of my roots as he can. When you say grind stumps, what does that mean exactly?
There's a stump grinder that you can rent, and it's a big saw that just turns it all into sawdust and shavings.
Oh, I see.
And then you go all the way until you get that whole stump completely out, and then there's nothing left but the big main roots, but they're not attached to anything anymore because you ground out that whole stump.
So we want to belabor the point, but that is a tremendous solution. But as Gwen mentioned, you do have to rent these. Very few people own these. They come in a small size and a larger size. Most people that are going to do it, go ahead and get the larger one. We're going to rent it. It's a heavy piece of machinery. It requires some expertise. It does cost money to do. I've had people do them. I've seen them being done. I thought I was going to do it myself till I saw what was involved. And I thought, no, I need someone younger that works with these. So what happened was, when I was involved in a stump grinding project with a neighbor's tree, he said, well, you know, this is going to cost a whole lot of money. I need to go. And I said, well, wait a second. What if we share in the cost? And all of a sudden, his attitude changed. And I said, you know, this is going to benefit me too. Let's face it. So could we explore what it would cost? And let's work out something that you is fair. We ended up doing it. I think, I don't remember, I paid 20-30% of the cost, whatever it was, 40%, I don't recall. In the long run, it worked out beautifully for me. It was done. We didn't have really any root growth. I don't recall, this is many years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago that I was involved in this, but it is something to explore with your neighbor, especially when you go, hey, have you thought about this? And maybe, you know, if it's not too cost prohibitive, we could share in the cost. Another possible avenue.
That, yeah, I will ask him that, because maybe he hasn't thought about that or doesn't know about that or doesn't want to go to the trouble or something.
Anyway, keep us on the loop, Mary.
Indeed, I will. And thank you so much.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your call. We'll be right back. Garden Talk continues. No one on hold at this moment. 636-1350.
I'm Clark Wolf. Listen to At the Table with Clark Wolf, Saturdays noon to 1, right here on KSRO.
Hello, my name is Stanley Klaus, and I'm the general manager of Crandall Roofing here in Santa Rosa. Of all the things you can do to protect and improve your home, the roof that protects it all has to be number one. At Crandall Roofing, we've been protecting people's homes and businesses for decades. We have successfully completed almost 6,000 jobs in the North Bay area, and our management team has over 200 years of combined roofing experience. Crandall Roofing is factory certified by virtually all major roofing manufacturers and is the North Bay's only Owens Corning Platinum rated installer. Our roofs come with factory-backed warranties for up to 50 years on both labor and materials. And we are proud of our Better Business Bureau rating of A+, which we have maintained for over 10 years. So when you want your roof repaired or replaced right, the first time, every time, give us a call at 586-2500. Or visit us on the web at crandallroofing.com. That's crandallroofing.com.
Although the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago.
Hey, honey.
What now?
What did that guy from Urban Tree Farm Nursery just say on the radio?
I don't know.
What? Yes, you do. He said that the best time to plant was 10 years ago. And the way I see it, it's been about 12 years since you promised to fix up the yard. I'm really tired of looking in our neighbor's windows and staring at our boring backyard that you keep promising to fix up. Although, the new neighbor is really cute. I think he works out. Maybe you can leave that side of our yard empty.
Cute? I'll go to Urban Tree Farm and get right on it. While I'm at it, I'll pick up some colorful perennials. And maybe I'll check out what fruit trees might work in our yard and start working on the edible landscape you mentioned a few years ago. Cute, huh? I better get the bigger trees and shrubs to hide that side faster.
The best time to plant was 10 years ago. The next best time is now. Urban Tree Farm Nursery. We're not just trees anymore. Like us on Facebook to get the latest deals and photos of new stuff in the nursery.
DJ Sash and Glass has been a proud family-owned and operated company since 1960. Located at 2985 Wilgin Court in Santa Rosa, DJ's is your full-service residential and commercial glass company. Supply one of the largest and most trusted names in windows and doors, Milgard. Milgard windows are custom made to order and designed to make a statement in any home. DJ's is proud to now feature the Essence Series windows from Milgard. DJ's specializes in heavy custom shower doors, custom and standard shower and tub enclosures, mirrors, skylights, and garden windows, or a simple repair to your screens, fixing a broken window, or cutting a glass piece to any size. DJ's in-house installation crew has you covered from free in-home estimates to the completion of the job. Add a touch of class to your glass with the help of DJ's. 2985 Wilgin Court. Call 546-7344 and online at djsglass.com. DJ's Sash and Glass.
Let's say if I want to plant a cut flower garden, is it too late in the summer? If I want a nice variety of cut flowers, what do you have growing in your cut flower palette garden? Do you have something?
So you want to copy me is what you're saying?
Yeah, I want to copy what's successful and what would be a nice variety of color and in different lengths.
Well, flowers. Let's see. You could either sow seeds or plant plants. It's not too late for either one of them. Let me see. Alphabetically, what do I have? Annual. These are all annuals that I've sown seeds for. And I have the T-tape, you know, so everybody's in straight lines. So I can, you know, I have all the... It's not a mix of annuals. So I have everybody in rows because that's how my T-tape, the irrigation line, is laid out. So I've got baby's breath, A, B, C. I have candy tuft, which is a tall variety of candy tuft. Makes a real pretty flower. They're all different
colors.
They're
all good for cut flowers.
Yeah, these are my cut flowers. Yeah. Cleome. Not many people know about Cleome. That's a really pretty, like, spider flower, I think it's called. Pink, pale pink, violet colors, white. Very, very pretty. Cosmos. I've got, I don't know how many different kinds of cosmos.
That's a good one.
And a really pretty one. You think of cosmos as your pinks and magenta, white flowers. Bright Lights is the name of this one. It's kind of like a bright orangey looking color. It's very pretty. Bachelor buttons. I have all different colors of bachelor buttons. Like tall. There's a tall mix that I get. Just like plain old tall mix, I think it's called. Hollyhocks. There's perennial and biennial and annual. So I have a little of everybody. But I know the annuals are going to be blooming this year for me. And the ones that I don't cut, they'll just drop their seeds and then reseed for next year for me. And all these flowers, I think, will reseed for me. Dianthus.
Oh.
I've got lots of varieties of tall sweet williams. Lots of different variety names that I can't remember the names. Tall mix of some sort. Mm-hmm. So the dianthus is good. Of course, zinnias. Cut and come again in the state fair. I have that green one called Envy, which is like a real pretty, almost like a parrot-colored green flower.
So a lot of different varieties of zinnias.
Yeah, I have lots of varieties. That's all I can think of now. It's a bunch of those things. And like I said, all these flowers, they're all different colors. So I'll just go out there and cut.
I've got to look at the Cleomes.
Cleome.
I'm not familiar with that one.
You know, it grows maybe 2 to 3 feet tall.
Okay.
It has these tiny little thorny things that come out on the stem. But that they don't bother you. But I really can't. The flower's about the size of my hand. And it just pops out with these little flowers all over it. It's very delicate. But I can't really describe it.
I was visiting a garden. That's a wonderful suggestion. Thank you. I was visiting a garden this week, and I saw a combination of a couple of plants that impressed me so much. I took a photo of this and just showed you this. And it's rare for Gwen to be impressed with any of my photos of gardens that I like. But but this one, you said, wow, this is really nice. The yarrow?
Yarrow, yellow flowering yarrow with that colored leaf cannas.
Yeah.
Canna.
It's kind of a reddish green canna.
Yeah, see that reddish, blood red wine colored leaf with the yellow flowers of the yarrow? And it looks like it's a dwarf yarrow, too. There is that taller one, Moonshine, which as they get older and the flowers start to fill out, they kind of get top heavy and fall over. That looks like it's a dwarf variety. So it's nice and compact under the cannas. And the combination of colors there is...
It's pretty
quite
stunning,
striking.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Very striking.
I do like that. I'm going to copy that. Thank you.
Okay. And what do you call this kind of canna? Is it a dark scarlet? Is there a variety name, do you think?
There probably is, but I don't remember. And I don't know if that's the orange flower or the red flower.
Okay.
They all have different colored flowers, but they are, people do buy them for the flowers, but mostly for the colored leaves. And how they unfurl when they grow. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just that for the foliage color alone, it's very pretty.
And the other photo which you liked is this beautiful abutilon.
Abutilons, yeah, they're Chinese lanterns, flowering maple are the common names. But they do well in some late afternoon shade, half a day shade.
Well, I've got the perfect place in my backyard, which gets morning sun and afternoon shade.
Yeah, there's so many varieties out now, different color flowers. One of my favorites is called Tiger Eye.
Tiger Eye,
yeah.
Okay.
Real pretty. They bloom forever in a day.
And how big will they get?
All different sizes. They have dwarf ones now that get to be a foot high, some others that are 2 to 3 feet, get 6 to 8 feet tall. It's hard to know when to prune them because they flower all the time, and you hate to prune them back and sacrifice these flowers.
Okay.
But you'll have to, otherwise they start to get, well, at least the tall ones will get kind of leggy.
I'm looking at 2 to 3 foot.
Yeah, go with that one. That'd be very, the yellow ones in the shade. Because that color stands out.
Well, isn't this the color that, is that
orange? That's an orangey one.
An orange one.
Orange is nice, but the yellow.
That's a stunning one.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that tip. We'll be right back.
The North Bay's home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders at 1350 FM 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Here's a health update from the Marin, Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
It's mosquito and West Nile virus season, and the Marin, Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District wants to help you fight the bite. So be sure to report neglected swimming pools or any other areas that are producing mosquitoes. Anything that holds water for more than 5 to 7 days can produce mosquitoes. It's simple. No water means no mosquitoes. Stay healthy this summer and fight the bite by using an effective insect repellent, especially if you're out at dawn and dusk. Repellents containing DEET, oil of lemon eucalyptus, picaridin, or IR3535 are most effective.
The Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District is an independent special district committed to protecting public health from mosquitoes and vector-borne disease. All programs and services are funded through benefit assessments and property taxes. Services are provided to all residents in Marin and Sonoma counties at no additional charge. Learn more at msmosquito.com.
Hey, homeowners, this is George Adair with Bay Equity Home Loans. We did it. We made it through the Great Recession, and home values are up. Now, you can finally benefit from the housing recovery. For a free home value analysis, call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100. Maybe now you can knock out some of those home improvement projects, like adding a new roof, kitchen, or flooring. You can even add solar with a cash-out refinance. Do you still have high credit card payments? Use your home's equity at a low fixed mortgage to get rid of that expensive debt and sleep well again. Bay Equity can help you celebrate the housing recovery. Treat yourself to improving your home or reduce your credit card balances with a cash out refinance from Bay Equity Home Loans. To see if you qualify, call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100. Again, 583-8100, or go online to bayequityloans.com.
Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight California Finance Lender Law and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
What are you doing to relax tonight? Watching some TV? Helping the kids with some homework? There's a better way to unwind. Take a vacation every day right at home in a luxurious Sundance Spa from Spa Land in Cotati. Immerse yourself into a space where worries will drift away. Meet the owners at Spa Land in Cotati. Bring one home for your next everyday vacation. June 16th through July 4th, Spa Land will pay the sales tax or 0% APR for 48 months. Visit them in Cotati, across from Lowe's, since 1983. SpaLand.com.
Drive away in a new Jeep. It's the Ride into Summer giveaway at Creighton Resort and Casino. Win a Jeep Wrangler or your share of over $50,000 in cash. One Jeep and 25 instant cash prizes every Friday in May and June. All prizes will be given away at each drawing, guaranteed. The Ride into Summer giveaway, only at Creighton Resort and Casino. Complete rules available at the Rewards
Center. There's no place I'd rather be.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Just enough time to say thank you, Gwen, for a lovely couple hours of garden talk this morning.
Thank you, Steve.
And we'll see you next week.
Yes, you will.
Waiting in the wings as we move from the greenhouse to the KSRO kitchen, Chef John Ash for the Good Food Hour.